Now it's about time we kicked off our election build-up on the show, and we're going to be doing it really in two parts. In the first half, this week and next, we'll be looking back at 1994 and our first democratic elections and reflecting on that process and on the people who were part of it. And then from mid-May onwards, as we ramp up towards our next election, we will be focusing on what lies ahead and speaking to analysts about some of the key concepts that need explaining, answering any questions you might have around the voting process and what happens afterwards. And on election day itself and the day after, we'll be broadcasting live from the Provincial Results Centre to make sure that you are kept up to date with the very latest news on the tallying of the results, the confirmation of seats, etc. But first, I think important to look at where we've come from in this process. This week, our interviews are going to be with journalists who covered the 1994 elections and the build-up to those polls. I want to talk to them about what happened leading up to the experience of the 27th of April, what the day itself was like for them, and how they feel about the shifting of the media landscape since then, the state of our democracy 30 years later, and whatever else they feel is important to talk about. You know, journalists covering the transition out of apartheid faced intimidation, faced harassment by the state, faced arrest and torture and pressure to reveal sources. And it was no easy feat to be a teller of truth in those days. Even as we emerged into democracy, the violence in the run-up to that first poll meant that many of them were exposed to extremely traumatic, really brutal experiences in the course of their jobs. And it was not an easy job to do, to say the very least. Our first guest is somebody who knows that all too well. Zubeda Jaffa is an award-winning journalist and author and activist. She worked on the big titles like the Cape Times and the Rand Daily Mail. She also worked on the small community publications, Grassroots and the like. Really, it made her a household name as somebody who was prepared to stand up for truth. It also made her somebody who was in the targets of those in power at the time. She was detained for 2 months in 1980 after exposing police killings. She was detained again in 1986 due to her work on community and trade union newspapers in particular. And that was despite the fact that she was several months pregnant at the time. She was released in time to give birth, only to be rearrested just 9 weeks later and sent back to jail with an infant in arms. So you can understand what an enormous, enormous moment it must have been for her to be there to bear witness on the 27th of April, 1994. And it's an enormous honor for us to have her back on the show again. Zubeda Jaffa, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you. And for that generous introduction.
Well, you make it very easy to be generous when you look back at your career, Zubeda. I mean, let's wind the clock back to a little bit before the 27th of April. It must have been, I mean, it was a time of such rapid and enormous change. It must have been, on the one hand, incredibly exhilarating to be working as a journalist, knowing I'm going to get to finally do it, to be there to see a democratic election take place. But at the same time, there was still so much pressure. There was still, you know, daily exposure to violence in the course of your work. Take us back. What was the energy like in newsrooms at the time?
Yeah, I was actually working for Africa Information Afrique, which is a Southern African news agency linked to Canada as well. And so I was doing that. But then I was kind of walled away from that about 5 months before the election.
Yeah.
And I was one of seven media professionals selected by the Transitional Executive Council. That was the body that was running the country, you know, as an interim structure. I was asked with these others, like Wimpy de Klerk and others, to help set up the Independent Media Commission. And the Independent Media Commission was an institution that ran in parallel to the Independent Electoral Commission, because both things we didn't have an electoral machine that served everybody in South Africa, and we didn't have any regulatory mechanisms to determine the relationship between the media and the political parties. So that's where I found myself, having to do the work of liaising with political parties and with the media and working out free-to-air advertising time, and you know, and we were based in Johannesburg, where things were very rough.
Yeah.
In terms of bombs going off, and you know, Johannesburg being people being moved out of the town, and so it was a very crazy time. And of course, there was all these competing interests, the old order people busy shredding all the evidence, all the documentation, and stealing our CVs of people who were applying for positions at the IMC. It was a horrible time, actually, because you started seeing what the beginnings of what we were going to be up against. And I was sort of in that moment at a very different point, where I was not covering the elections sort of on a, you know, on the grassroots.
Yeah.
But I was seeing the elections and watching the elections from a different point, which was absolutely fascinating, you know, because today we take for granted we've got ICASA, we had the IBA, we have all these structures, but none of that was there. None of that. And we take for granted the IEC, but, you know, we forget that never before in our history have we set up institutions that serve all of South Africa.
Mm.
For the past 30 years, the first time in our history that we have set up institutions that makes an attempt to serve all of South Africa. And I think that's a very, very important thing to understand, that this is a very new experience for us. And I didn't know whether we were going to, how are we going to survive at the time because of the, you know, the as I said, there were bombs going off.
Yeah.
But I just knew that we had to do whatever we had to do, you know, to get through the drama. And we succeeded, you know, and I was able to come home on the 27th of April, fly in home, because I wanted to vote here in Wynberg, where my family has been for over 60 years. So I came home and met some of my school friends in the line. And, you know, it was that kind of, you know, celebratory feeling. So, yes, it was extraordinary, but it was also on the knife edge, on the edge of a knife.
You know, Sabana, listening to you describe that and what you say about how much we take for granted about the way things run when we look at the build-up to this election. Political parties can place their advertising. We air it. There are regulations about how that is done. There are notifications that this is a political advert and what to do if you object to it. And there is a sort of a clear ring fencing of who is allowed to say what and how the public is allowed to respond to that if they don't like it.
Yes.
All of that didn't exist in the build up to April 1994. And you were working with media structures that themselves hadn't even begun to fully transform yet, where the whole sort of state of the media had been aligned in the service of propaganda of the apartheid state, to suddenly have to use those very media to open up a democratic election must have been extraordinarily difficult.
It was a very, very tough time. And I mean, I just think of myself. I mean, at that time, we people like journalists of color were not even allowed to cover parliament, you know. So all this is so easily forgotten. But that was how it was. And, you know, the people who are now telling us that they can, I mean, there are people who sort of have a very high and mighty attitude about that they know how to run South Africa. They created the mess in the first place. That sometimes feels so funny. They created the mess in the first place. And now they haven't, but then they have an attitude that they're better than everybody else.
Zubeda, the one thing that's very different heading into these elections in terms of how the media will cover them is the understanding of who the media is these days. I mean, as you said, we now have all the structures in place. We have the likes of ICASA and broadcasting complaints processes to deal with that sort of element of it. But the one thing that's new is that every citizen standing in the election queue with a cell phone in their pocket and an internet connection becomes effectively a potential reporter on the day. How do you think that changes the pressure on actual professional journalists reporting on the polls that come, knowing that that the person next to them who might not have had the same sort of deep dig into ethical principles of journalism and that sort of training has the same capacity to reach an audience as they do?
Yeah, you see, journalism is in crisis, and we all over the world, journalists are grappling with what is actually, you know, our role in the light of, you know, social media and people relating to all these, you know, extreme tweets and stuff. And so what is the point of writing a balanced and fair article when people are more interested in, you know, extreme interpretations? But I think we will find our way through this. It's not, the answer isn't there yet. But to be trained, to write as factually as you can, and to give a well thought of argument, there's nothing better than that, I think. But it's getting lost in the, you know, in the craziness of our time. You know, you don't know what is true, what is not true. You don't know, you've just been bombarded because there's so many sources of information. But my view is, Papa, that we just have to go through this. It's the advantages also, because the advantages are that people can say what they want to say, and more information can emerge in these processes. So we are actually the richer in some way, but with that comes, you know, all the downsides as well. As with life is like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. So will you be voting in Wynberg again this time around, Zubeda?
Yes, I'll be voting in Wynberg. I always come back to, in fact, I remember in 94, we were supposed to do special votes in Joburg because we were supposed to be on duty. And I just said, no, I can't do that. My father and mother are voting for the first time in their lives, or I'm voting for the first time in my life. And there's no way I can miss this, you know. Yeah. And so I came home and I voted yes, which is absolutely beautiful. And I'll be back here again to vote. God alone knows for who, but vote.
That's a conundrum many of us are facing, Zubeda, but thank you. I want to just share with you a message that has come in from one of our listeners, which just gives, I think, real meaning to the comments I made at the start about your career, because Adolf in Elsie's River has written in to say, I will never, ever forget Zubeda. She interviewed me when my baby brother was shot dead by the riot police in the unrest that raged through Elsie's River at the time. Her compassion gave our family new hope for the future. Adolf, I'm so sorry that your family went through that, but what a wonderful way to remember a wonderful journalism career. Zubeda Jaffa, thank you so much for being so generous with your time this afternoon, and we wish you,
thank you so much,
a peaceful and meaningful day at the end of this month when you get to cast your vote again in Wynberg.
Thank you, and thank you. Lots of love, Adolf, wherever you are.
Still in Elsie's River. Zubeda Jaffa, lovely to have you with us on the show today. And another thank you coming in from Jermaine Grammer, saying thanks to Zubeda. She believes journalism needs as much support as possible and would like to say thank you for all of your hard work.